I believe in people. Maybe you know this about me, maybe you don't, but I do. I believe in people. When things get really bad, I consider, how is it that I can be in relationship so that God's mercy and possibility might be made known? When I thought of this particular aspect brought to my attention from the gospel today, because as we see in our gospel, Jesus believes in people. He sends them out two by two and gives them power to do the work in his name. When I was thinking about reading this gospel, I remembered a story from our own lives, mine and Michael's, that happened 20 years ago. And I want to share it with you. I know it was 20 years ago because we only had 3 kids. Michael and I decided to go camping in West Virginia. We had driven through West Virginia a few times, and it is gorgeous. Maybe you noticed. It's lush and green. It's just beautiful. And on more than one occasion, we said, let's come camping here and like immerse ourselves in the beauty of all of this vibrancy and life. And so we decided we would do that. And we took our 3 children, our 2-year-old, our 5-year-old, and our 8-year-old. The 2-year-old was potty trained, which is good when you're at a campground because you know you have to share a bathroom with everybody. But we did take the little portable potty chair so that we didn't have to make a trip up there every 45 minutes or so. The big kids were excited. We took their bikes. And if you've been to a campground, all the kids become a little mess of kids together. And our big kids had such a great time riding bikes with the young people there, played hide and seek at night. There were some like middle school age kids who thought our kids were little and cute, and so took them around and did fun stuff with them. We made friends with people that were at the campsite. We learned about a really great option for dessert from a fire that's not s'mores, and I'm gonna tell it to you because I don't know that I had ever heard of it before or since. It's called banana boats. Do you know about banana boats? Oh, good, I'm glad. Look, I can tell because they have big smiles on their faces, the people who know about banana boats. So for those of you that don't know, you take a banana, leave it in its skin, slice it down the middle, push it open a little bit and put some miniature marshmallows and miniature chocolate chips in there, wrap it in foil, set it beside the fire, and in a few minutes it's this gooey glob of goodness. These were all the wonderful things about that trip. However, it was a lot of work. I mean, camping is work, but it was particular work because the first night it rained. And although we had our tarp set up and the tent just right, somehow water got in there. So I did laundry on the first day of camping. This campground had laundry facilities up by the showers, and I had to wash whatever it was. But we were back in business for the second night, and it rained. And the next morning, something new was wet that had to be just soaked through, and so I had to go deal with that again. So the third day, when we were about mid-afternoon, and I heard the thunderclouds over in the edge of the mountains, and I was adjusting the tarp yet again because we kept thinking maybe this angle is the one to get the water to go away from the tent. I yelled out at heaven, "Wait! I'm almost done!" And it was then that I looked around at the campsite and realized we were the only tent in that beautiful campground. Everyone else was in a camper, a pop-up camper. They were off the ground. And I thought, oh, yes, this must be why West Virginia is so beautiful. It rains a lot here. We managed to have a fine week. We never really had a fire because the wood was soaked. But the morning we left, we were going further into West Virginia to this little town called Cass, West Virginia. We loaded our car that morning, yes, even with the wet laundry, because it was just a couple hours drive to our destination, and we were gonna stay in a real shelter that night, a hotel or something. We'd find a laundromat, I would do it there while Michael did dinner for everybody, and that's how we had planned our day. We were only a few hours from Cass, and we set out on these back roads, rural roads. We encountered a hotel, a kind of flattened thing, no name brand really to it, and went in, and they did have openings, but we weren't sure how far we were away from Cass. And we wanted to be very close to Cass, West Virginia, because you see, the next morning, we had tickets to ride the steam train. Cass, West Virginia was founded in 1901. It was named for Joseph Kerr Cass, vice president and co-founder of the West Virginia Pulp and Paper Company. It was literally a company town. Cass was created to serve the needs of the men and their families who worked in the nearby mountains. So the paper company built houses for their employees. They paid their employees in scrip, which they could use at the company store where they could buy their clothes and their food and all their essentials. It was a closed economy. And they had a train that went up the mountain for collecting the trees. We knew that it was a small town and it didn't have much to offer. Our research, Michael's research, had already clued us into that. They had a general store, a restaurant, a history museum, and 20 houses which were refurbished for tourist lodgings, but they were out of our budget, so that's why we were looking for a cheap hotel as we approached the town. We did find a hotel still closer yet to Cass, but it was already full because one thing we came to learn was there was a bikers rally happening. And indeed there was. So every room was booked of people who were glad to be together on their motorbikes. So we headed into Cass. I mentioned that it's small, and just to emphasize again, it's only 0.79 square miles. Presently, its population is 38 people. I think when we were there, it was like 58 or 60. We went in to the History Museum, which had a desk to help people who were traveling, and they said, well, you know, you're going to find a lot booked up because of the biker rally that happens every year at this time. They said, but there is a ski lodge up the way, off season, and you can get a room there for whatever the amount was out of our range. But we were getting into the afternoon, and we'd only packed for dinner, and we needed to be settled for these 2, 5, and 8-year-olds. So we headed out of town, hoping to find a place to stay. And as we were leaving town, there was this big homemade billboard that said Bob's Cabins, or maybe Joe's Cabins. I don't know. My emphasis, though, was on a homemade. It was a homemade billboard. Had an arrow on this road. Michael and I are a sucker for the word cabin, and so we say, oh, let's go check that out. So we turn on this rural road and go down it. There's a house here, lots of farmland, a house here, lots of farmland. We probably get 2 miles down the road, and we see no other sign for Bob's Cabins. So Michael decides to do a turnaround on this country road. A 3-point turn, you know how those work, right? Except he overshot the front end, and the wheels fell in the little ravine area. You know the big ditch that they put beside the road to catch all the rainwater? Yeah, that's what our car was. It was a loaded Ford station wagon, I may have mentioned. And so we had to lessen the weight, we thought. It had 2 bikes on the back and everything inside. We said, well, let's get the kids out, which maybe together the three of them weighed like 150 pounds. It didn't really make a difference. Michael was noting, and we were both knowing, that he would just be spinning out his wheels and wear away at the road. So we had to find some solution. And I said, go up to that house up there and see if they'll help us. This house that was sitting up on top of the long driveway. I don't know if we quabbled or squibbled or dialogued a little bit about whether or not that was a good idea. I said, I'm sure they've noticed us here. I'm sure they see us. I said, take a kid. It should help. So he goes up there with one of our kids. He goes up onto the poured concrete cement stoop, knocks on the door, and indeed the people answer, a woman and an older woman with her. I can see that there's some dialogue happening. If I'm not mistaken, I think they laughed a little bit at our predicament. And she said, yes, I can get my brother to come down and pull you out. And we had told her where we were going. We're going to Bob's Cabin. She said, oh, I know Bob. I'll call ahead and see if he's got a space tonight. We said, great. So indeed, her brother came and looked us in the eye, looked Michael straight in the eye, and said, do you swear not to sue me if I do something to your car while pulling this out? Michael said, I swear. He's like, okay. They shook on it. He hooked up the tractor to the back of our car, put it in neutral or reverse or whatever, and indeed, he pulled our car right out. And we learned that Bob did indeed have a cabin open for that night, so we traveled down the road to Bob's Cabin. It wasn't that much farther down the road, just a few more turns. What a wonderful surprise Bob's Cabin was. Unbelievable. It had air conditioning. It had a kitchen. It had laundry. It had cable. We didn't even have cable at that time in our lives. It had a barn with some cats. It had a horse or two that liked our apple and our carrots. It was blissful. Everyone had a bed. The next morning, we got up bright and early because we needed to make our ticket time for the train up the Switchback Mountain to see whatever there is to see. And I remember driving on that curvy road as the sun was coming up and the mist was over the farm fields, and I said, let this always be a memory that reminds us that God provides. May we never forget this one, so that we can remember, even in the worst circumstances, God provides. I remember that story specifically because of the need we had to throw ourselves onto the mercy of the people that lived at the top of the hill. We had nowhere else to turn but to their kindness, the kindness we hoped that they had. And I think about God in this scenario and how much trust God gives us with God's very self. I'm amazed at the amount of trust that God gives to us mere mortals, for God's very self in the world. It is throughout Scripture that we realize God's love for us enough to trust us with God's very self. We think of the incarnation, where the Holy One, the Infinite One, willingly submits to the capacity of mercy within people by coming to us as a baby. He's in the care of his parents as he grows, and then as he goes out into the world where foxes and others have places to rest their head, but he does not, he moves with some confidence that the Lord provides, a trust in the goodness of God's people. I remember John chapter 3, verse 17, when we read, indeed, God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the whole world might be saved through him. This is God's intention, to love us and to trust us into loving him so that his love can be known in the world. In today's gospel, he says to his disciples that he sends out, the 70 of them, that's a big crowd. Maybe it's about this size. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. They can't believe the power that they've been given. They're saying, things are happening when we do stuff. You have given us this. In your name, even the demons submit to us. And Jesus says, yes. I mean, I hope you're not excited about your own power, but instead, about your ability to change the world for good. That's what Jesus gives us. That's what God gives us in Jesus. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, is reminding folks that what you put into the world actually generates something. Everything does, like seeds that are just scattered around. You can't even find them once they fall. Things grow from what you plant, whatever it is. Your actions are seeds which will generate an outcome. And so Paul encourages the Christians in Galatia, let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. Earlier in his letter, Paul writes, the same letter, he writes, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. This is what God gives us, a belief in humanity and a trust in humanity of God's very self. I want to share with you some beautiful words from Nikolai Berdyaev. Sorry if I'm saying his name wrong. He was born in what is now Ukraine in 1874. He was a Russian philosopher who emphasized the existential spiritual significance of human freedom and the human person. I want to read to you a little bit from his writing entitled The Divine and the Human. Berdyaev wrote, true humanness is likeness to God. It is the divine in man. In order to be completely like man, it is necessary to be like God. It is necessary to have the divine image in order to have the human image. Man, as we know him, is but to a small extent human. He is even inhuman. It is not man who is human, but God. It is God who requires of man that he should be human. Man, on his part, makes very little demand for it. In exactly the same way, it is God who demands that man should be free, and not man himself. We know of freedom because of what God has given to us in Jesus Christ. We know of freedom because of the living God's work in the world throughout all time. In John's gospel, when Jesus shows up in the upper room after his resurrection, he breathes on them. He says to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whatever sins you forgive are forgiven. Whatever sins you retain are retained." And so here we are, the ones who have been breathed on, breathed into. We, the body of Christ. St. Stephen's is not the only body of Christ, but we are one body of Christ and also a part of the body of Christ universal. And we are humbled to remember that the living God entrusts God's self to us because God knows that we are one with him. Let us remember this daily so that we might grow ever more steadfast and faithful in our service. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.